showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined, as I often am, by my daughter producer Sam. Let me just start by saying thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network back in July. Thanks to our sponsors. They include Brad Sean Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman, where you walk in, you mention the BS Show, and you will get 5% off a used gun. And I know Kevin has been, Kevin's a big gun guy, right? Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press.
I got two guns.
He's got all the guns
I need, as Keith Millard would say.
we'll also be joined by Abby Powell, who will join us in a bit. We're also joined by attorney, and I told him before I'm going to introduce attorney slash beer aficionado slash sports aficionado. Because you know, can you tell us that you represent in your attorney role several athletes? Are you allowed to give any names of any of them? Jeff O'Brien is our guest.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, the couple of retired athletes people would recognize, I represent a couple of ex-Vikings QBs, Joe Kapp and Tommy Kramer.
Wow.
Yep. And Tommy was the first one I worked with. He was my childhood hero. I met him through a Facebook fan club. Happened to have a family member that was part of it, and they said, hey, he needs a business lawyer. Here's his email. I'm like, okay.
That's how it's set up?
Yeah, that's what happened. And then the one I work with the most, though, is Carl Eller. Carl's a great guy.
We've had him on the show a number of times.
Very entrepreneurial, doing a lot of fun stuff with him. So.
Yeah, he's, Sam, coincidentally, she is a semifinalist for the Viking cheerleaders team. I don't know if you knew that, Kevin, if you saw that.
I saw it on the BS blog.
That's right. Thank you. And and one of the questions they asked her, because she's a semifinalist, there's a lot more to go before she can make the team, but who is your favorite Viking of all time? And your answer was?
Hall of Famer Carl Eller. Which actually raised some eyebrows, because I think that the 10 girls before me said Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, because they're trying to stay current, but at least Sam has. She's talked to Carl.
But
she played the history card.
Yeah, she played the history. And if you're gonna play the history card, I don't think you can play it much better than Carl.
No,
Carl,
no.
Who by the way, I've told him when he's been on the show, if you were to even now, he looks like he could play.
Yeah.
But I mean, his size when he played, he would be. As terrific as he was then, as terrific now, because he was so beyond what other players were for his size. It's 6'4", six, right?
Yeah, yeah.
270, 280, he'd be playing closer to 300 now.
I always feel bad when I'm out with him. I always say that, anonymity eludes Carl. I mean, you cannot be, be obscure when you're 6'6".
Yeah.
It's just anytime we go someplace, they figure, oh, there's Carl. So it's not always an easy life being, a 6'6", Hall of Fame defensive end.
Though it's preferable to being just a 6-foot schlub.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
If you had your druthers.
Yeah. Now, Tommy Kramer, by the way, because I covered him. I came here in 84 to cover the Vikings, and he was just – he was a great guy to deal with.
Yeah, he's a fun guy now.
Fun-loving guy.
Yep. But he's a really smart guy generally. I mean, he went to Rice University. It was like the Harvard of Texas, because he wanted to play in a certain offense. But even today, you talk to him about, he watches every Vikings game on Sunday Ticket. And, you talk to him.
He gets up here a bit for some golf tournaments
up here,
too, right?
He has a charity golf tournament. His daughter, Cassie, is a 2-time survivor of anaplastic large cell lymphoma. And she just actually had a recurrence last year after 10 years of being cancer-free. And so she's fine now. She went through surgery and chemo and radiation. But he does a charity tournament every August he has the Tommy Kramer Cancer Research Foundation.
Okay.
And actually that's part of – I'm right now running for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Man of the Year, basically in honor of my friend and client Tommy, because he's down in Texas and they wanted to run.
You've done a lot of stuff to help promote it, I'm guessing.
Yeah. He's my honorary captain of my campaign. He's signing autographs for people that give so much and things like that. So it's just a nice way to give back, watching, a guy who is you're around him. He's the most positive human being you ever meet, and to watch him go through hell last year, that was tough. And so I'm like, you know what? I can do something. I'm going to help raise some money.
How is Joe Kapp doing?
Joe is okay. You know, the news stories, I think, painted out a little bit grimmer picture than what it actually is. You know, Joe's had good days and bad days for as long as I've known him, and I've been working with him 4 or 5 years
now. And what we're
now.
Talking about, I mean, it could be related to concussions, that there's it's early onset of dementia.
He has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, but you know, he was here in December. The Vikings had him as honorary captain at the Bears game, and so he was down on the field and did the coin toss, and you know, was in town for, and, you know, did an appearance and things, and you know, we're working on a couple book projects right now.
Oh, good.
He had written a book when I first met him. He said, "I'm looking at this book that I wrote in 1989 about the 1969 Minnesota Vikings. It's called 40 for 60." He'd never published it. I said, "Why don't you send it out to me? I'll take a look at it." And he sent it. I looked at it. I said, "Joe, this is really good." So, you know, knock on wood, we're hoping that maybe by the end of this year we actually have it published. So,
do you have a publisher yet?
We are talking with someone. We're close.
Okay,
we're very
good.
Close. Very close.
Because there's, I did a book years ago for it's Source Books out of Chicago, and that's the type of book they would like. I mean, this thing was like the 100 greatest arguments in sports in Minnesota. They did different ones for different cities, but that would be the type of book they might have interest in. If you know, but you may have someone.
We are like this close working with Hillcrest Media. The family is just kind of going through the book and reviewing it, what's there now, and deciding what they want to, you know, collecting photos and deciding what they're going to do with it. So, like I said, I'm hopeful that we get it published by the end of this year. He also still is his son JJ, his oldest son JJ, who people, you know, that have been longtime Viking fans remember from the old TCF Bank commercials or whatever, that the billboard they had on like Hennepin Avenue. He was the guy he was the kid in the ads with Joe. He's an attorney out in California. They're working together on his life story, which is the real punchline is, you know, the stuff he did playing as a, you know, Hispanic quarterback in the NFL in the 60s, and the contract dispute and the lawsuit against the NFL, and then, you know, the CFL, all the way up to his little fisticuffs with Angelo Mosca a couple years ago.
Which was one of the best videos I've seen on YouTube.
Plus his great, great moment of his collegiate career when he was the coach at Cal.
Yep, the play.
For the play.
Yep.
Where the guy was down. Kevin Moan was
down. Was that with the band?
With the band, yeah.
Yeah, so, Joe was the coach.
Oh, well,
Joe did not call the band out onto the field, but the band is out on the field.
You know what? I guess I had forgot. I know who the Stanford coach was at the time, Paul Wiggins, because he, because I remember. Kurt Brown, do you remember Kurt?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Kurt Brown was working. I was working at the Star Tribune covering the Vikings at the time. He was working at the Pioneer Press covering the Vikings. And one day, Kurt wore to practice down in Mankato the T-shirt that had the play on it. and I don't blame him, you know, and I somehow got sucked in it because I was talking to Kurt. But, I mean, what Paul had said, and he was right, you know, he said, you know, the T-shirt bothers me because a lot of people lost their jobs over that play, and it's not something that we joke about. I mean, he was very professional about it, but...
Well, that was a pretty mediocre Stanford team. I mean, think about it. They had John Elway, senior year,
yeah,
and they didn't go to a bowl. That game knocked them out of a bowl.
Well, that wasn't mediocre. Who knows what they could have done?
The interesting thing about that game, and tie back to Joe's career at the Vikings, is he told me, he said, you know, we played Elway in that game. He said, you remember the game in 69 where Joe threw the 7 touchdowns against Baltimore and, you know, they tied the record. And, you know, the Colts threw this defense that just kept blitzing at him. He said, we used the same defense the Colts used against Elway that day in the game. And, of course, Elway, you know, came back, you know, led him from behind and came back. But he said the interesting historical connection was we were using the same defense the Colts were using that day against me to shut down Elway.
Really?
Just blitzing and blitzing and blitzing. So,
well, it's, I mean, I didn't, obviously, I wasn't here then when he played. That was long before I was still actually then it was almost grade school or elementary, whatever it was. So I only watched it from afar what he did. But, I mean, the name Joe Kapp carries a lot of weight around here. He took him to their first Super Bowl,
Yeah, I grew up in the Tommy Kramer era. And, you know, I remember getting for a birthday present one year a videotape of the old Super Bowl years. And the first thing I see is this guy standing there being given the most valuable, you know, player award from the team. And he sets it down. He goes, "There is no most valuable Viking. There's only 40 most valuable Vikings. 40 for 60, I can't accept this." And I'm like, I love this guy.
The amazing thing about Kapp's career and how he had like his peak with like those last 2 years of the Vikings, last one of the Super Bowl, is when you look at the highlights, how often he threw off the wrong foot. I mean, in terms of technically, he might have been the least pure quarterback on the planet. And in some ways, what they used to accuse Dante Culpepper in the day of just chucking it up and having Randy Moss run after it. When you watch some of those old Viking things, a lot of it is Kapp off the wrong foot, chucking it up, to Gene Washington or one of his other receivers, and particularly in 69, everything he did worked.
Yeah.
I mean, they were overwhelmingly the best team in the league in terms of offensive production. There was one other great team that year. The Rams started 11-0, but the Vikings ended up beating them in the playoffs. But they just a golden year, and then it fell apart, you know, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I always say of all the teams that they had that lost the Super Bowl, that's the one where you go back and you said, God, they should have won that one. You can make an argument that they lost that game because they did not know how to play from behind. They had been ahead in just about every game that year.
Yeah, plus the Chiefs' offense. They were pulling a lot of gadget plays out of there they hadn't seen or whatever. But also the Chiefs were underrated.
They also
clearly, that was, you look at some of the Hall of Famers on that Chiefs team. I mean, that defense was Bobby Bell and Buck Buchanan, Willie Lanier. Just the Chiefs were
offensively, they
the
had
Chiefs
a great receiver.
The Chiefs were much better than the Jets team that won the Super Bowl the previous year.
However, the Vikings also, because I've talked to a lot of them about it, they had no idea. I mean, it hit them hard when they saw how good Jan Stenerud was.
Yeah.
They knew that whatever the field position was, if they cross midfield, they're in danger.
And that's what put them in the hole. They were down, I think, 9-0
yeah.
without having really given up any big plays. But, you know, especially back then with the goalposts, you know, at the goal line. Just anywhere near midfield, Stenerud was in his range.
That was that's a little bit of a killer. Now, you mentioned quickly, because I want to take a break, but that YouTube video when he went at it with, was it Angelo Mosca?
Angelo Mosca, yeah.
It was like at the Grey Cup, wasn't it?
it was like a CFL Hall of Fame dinner or something.
But this went back to when they played in a Grey Cup.
Yes, yeah, it goes back to the 1963 Grey Cup game where he claims that Mosca hit his running back, Willie Fleming, out of bounds.
And that's what they fought. I mean, Mosca,
him out of the game.
Mosca had, did he have the walker or was it just the cane?
He had the cane.
Didn't he try to hit Joe with the cane?
He swung at Joe with the cane, and that's why Joe decided that with, you know, got his old teammates like Lonnie Warwick, and that he couldn't stand, if those guys saw the video, he had to defend himself. So
he knocked him through the curtain.
Or yeah, knocked him off the
they
dais.
They were on a little stage, knocked him off the thing.
Yes.
It's entertaining. If you haven't seen it, just type in Joe Cap. Well, I think Joe Cap and
it's probably
and
tops
Angela
on the Mosca, list on YouTube.
Angela Mosca, you'll find it.
If you just do go Joe Cap, I think it's the first thing that comes up.
Oh, all right, for videos. All right, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right. I want to talk to both of you. The Timberwolves last night, they had what would be considered based on, you know, they I think they had like a 81% and plus chance
greatest
of losing
upset ever.
of the year or ever.
I would say ever in terms of the national focus on the game.
Let's come back and talk about that. I also want to talk about. I mentioned it's Kevin. You were on your way in about this. You know what happened in Wisconsin last night. You follow politics,
mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Yes, I do.
Maybe one of you could explain to me the whole thing with John Casey. Because to me, as I mentioned on Tom's show, he's like, it's like the kid cut from the varsity and he keeps showing up for practice, thinking the coach
George
will put
Costanza
him back on.
George Costanza after he got fired and he shows up the next day. It's George Costanza.
Well, we'll talk about those and many other things. We'll be joined a bit later by Abigail, that's what she was named, Abby Powell, Terry Train's daughter, and Ruth Lorden, and we'll be right back.
Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. LegalZoom.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Sam is with us, my semi-finalist in the bid to become a Vikings cheerleader. How'd you do last night? You kick ass? What'd you do?
I did pretty good. We practiced for the pageant.
Okay. Let me mention this, by the way. This Kevin Cusick's here from the Pioneer Press, PlaySays.com, at the loop now. Did you get them all?
Yep.
Jeff O'Brien is here. Attorney slash beer aficionado slash, well, you are an agent for some retired players you went through, right?
Not really an agent.
Or attorney for them.
We're the attorney for the guys.
All right. And I want to hear more. Actually, let's save the beer talk for when Abby comes on because she knows her
Sounds
beers,
good.
Too. We could have some real a beer off.
I think she knows her hard liquor.
She knows them all. Trust me. This segment brought to you by MyPillow, the greatest pillow I've ever slept on. Made right here in Minnesota, MyPillow is the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. Comes with a great warranty, and you will sleep better. You can put it in the wash. You can put it in the dryer. It's helped me with my sleep apnea. I used to move around all night on my old pillow, my mask would come off. This thing, it's been incredible, the difference it's made. Now, here's a great offer for you. Buy one pillow, get one free. Two ways to get this offer. You go to MyPillow.com. You go to the radio listeners page. Put in the promo code THEBSShow, like the show, THEBSShow. And the BS Show will send you a BS Show t-shirt. Can't beat that. Nobody else offering a BS Show t-shirt. Go to thebsshow.net for all the details, or you can call 800-320-3501. I still owe Kevin a T-shirt or two.
Or 10
two.
At this
I
point.
Said or two. And now, I wanted to, before we talk about some of the other things going on, Sam is a semifinalist for the Vikings cheerleader team.
It's going to be, if I don't make it, it's going to be really fun talking about that, since we've talked so much about the
Vikings. Doesn't
fact
she
that I'm
have a legacy advantage?
Well, her
you
mother.
Would hope that it's now, an
you
advantage.
Would think
it'd
be
I don't know,
that way.
Jeff, I don't know if you know who her mother did. Her mother was a Vikings cheerleader for 8 years and the first Vikings cheerleader to represent the storied franchise at the Pro Bowl.
Really?
So she's a legacy.
Yeah, I would think so.
And her little sister, 6-year-old Sienna, is a member of the Vikings cheerleader Sparkle team that's won 3 national titles. So there's pressure on Sam to produce here
and
make the team.
I was a part of their junior program when I was younger, too, though.
Yeah, but you didn't
so
win,
I've been a part
you didn't
of
win 3 national titles.
So if I was
like
one of
sister.
The opponents, I'd be assuming it was rigged and just like be pouring on the hate on social media.
But here, okay, but one of the things, now if I sat down, if any one of the three of us, because we all follow sports, you know, I'm sure that we could do it, but they had blank piece of paper. You have to give every team in their respective division. It would take a while for some people to do that unless you follow it. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a slam dunk for a lot of people.
Yeah, we have a 55-point football knowledge quiz that we have to take, and you have to get 95% correct. And so you have 2 chances. You take the quiz once, and then if you don't pass it, you don't get more than 95%, then you get to take it again. I did not pass it the first time, so I took it, and then I studied and studied and studied and studied, and then passed it this time, so that's good.
What was the bonus? You said there's like a bonus question, too? Can
they
you say
have,
what that is?
There were 5 extra credit points at the end. So you kind of could get, I don't know, like that kind of made up for if you got a couple things wrong, but you got those right, it would make up for it. I think that a couple of them were, where is the 2017 Super Bowl? Another one was
2017.
2018. Is
2018.
At, yeah, no, 2018 is in at US Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
2017 is in Houston, Texas.
Oh, all right.
Where,
so
the, final, where the Final Four was.
So what I'm getting at is that was a little trick question for people.
Yes, and that wasn't anything that we talked about in our study.
See, this is really impressive because
others,
it's not like she has anyone in the house that she can derive football knowledge from. I mean, she's living in sort of a vacuum there.
Okay.
So you really have to tip your hat.
It, very much so, because the other night when, you know, she wanted to practice the divisions, when she got one wrong, she said, go back and come to me when you know
him. He's like, get away from me. He's like, you know nothing.
I have no daughter.
Go practice. Now, were any questions related to any of Jeff's clients? Was there a Joe Capp or a Tommy Kramer or Carl Eller question?
No, there were there was – who was our most recent Hall of Fame inductee? And who was
and the answer
NFL
to that
man
would be
– Mick Tinglehoff.
Very good. Wow. Well, wait a minute. That might have been a trick question.
I would have said John Randall.
Because that's a senior committee guy.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He was listed in our little book of knowledge that they gave us to study as the most recent one.
Of course, I think Mick has forgotten he was inducted last year.
Nice, Kevin.
But another one was who was the test just said who was man of the year, and it meant who was NFL man of the year, which is Chris Carter.
Well, I would have put my dad.
I know.
But and then
I left it open to interpretation.
Or not my dad. But anyway, she has the next thing all of you gals are doing is Sunday night, right?
Well, we still have two more days of training camp this week. No. So, and that's 3 hours.
Down in Mankato, right? You go to training camp there?
No.
Is it two-a-days?
That's that winter
camp. Two-a-days are
rough. Yeah, two-a-nights. Yeah.
it's a few hours a night at Winter Park, and then and we're just practicing for the pageant. But the next big thing is the pageant.
Well, what's the what are you doing at the pageant?
It's a competition where it's a swimsuit competition. They'll do interview you on stage briefly. So they want to see how you'll handle public speaking. And
see, she's a legacy. Her mother is a former Mrs. Minnesota, so she's got that,
well,
too.
Well, it's not like I haven't personally done pageants.
No, but, it's genetic.
This will be one more swimsuit competition, though, than your dad has done.
That's true.
You don't know
we don't know that, Kevin. I feel like you're making a lot of assumptions.
I'm hoping
Let
that's
me just
the case.
Say, Kevin, in my youth on the Jersey Shore, I was quite fetching in a swimsuit. I'll have you know. Anyway.
But was it a bikini?
That's I didn't wear a top.
Thong.
I wore without a top. Topless.
He calls it the Bob thong.
The Bobini. Anyway, we mentioned the Timberwolves. Huge win. What was the number again?
124 to 117.
No, not that number. The number where the odds of them
the odds?
Losing were at, they were 80. I'll find it exactly what it is. They were in the 80s.
But you can't think of any other time that the Timberwolves played a team with a record of 69-8. On national television.
Oh, Warriors were 94.3% likely to win per BPI. What's BPI? What's that? Who comes up? Is that ESPN stat?
It's ESPN speak for their like computer
That's
crunching.
Their thing. Okay. So biggest upset of the season, but as you said, that might be the biggest upset of any team in a regular season game.
It's the Wolves' biggest victory ever, except maybe Phil, you want to talk about their first game when they beat Philadelphia at the Metrodome. But in terms of just out of the blue, being in the national spotlight and actually winning the game. Marv Albert was calling the game. So Marv Albert going yes to a Timberwolves victory over the latest best team ever.
See, I would have bet that he would keep saying, I don't believe it.
Well, after the game, that was pretty much what they were saying. And there's, you know, it was kind of half and half people being impressed with the Wolves and the other half being, boy, the Warriors really need to like get their –
act
together because
well, Curry,
they've been lousy
first eight
for
shots,
a week
right?
now. They've been lousy for a week now.
Well, you think they're in the coast mode going to the postseason?
I think they've been mentally? Reading too many press clippings and looking ahead to the postseason and assuming, I think they were assuming with all their home games left that they were going to get the record.
Yep.
And now, to get the record, they have to beat San Antonio twice. And while they may do that to get the record, I think their big problem is going to be a month down the road. Right now, this Golden State team is not going to beat San Antonio. San Antonio is like under the radar.
It's going to be another team in the postseason.
They have like the sixth or seventh best record in history right now. San Antonio is undefeated at home. And in a best of seven, I think they'd be favored over Golden State, even with the Warriors having home advantage.
Well, Jeff, you follow sports. You in agreement with that?
I would agree. Yeah. Now you're asking me to pick favorites in my two quarterback clients because, of course, I got Kramer down in San Antonio. It's a Spurs fan, and Cap out in Los Gatos. That's a Warriors fan. So,
the one thing I'll give the Warriors credit for is they did again last night wear the greatest uniform in the history of the NBA. They redid their old 1960s jerseys with the city on the front and the back. They have the number inside a cable car. But it's better than the ones they wore in the 60s because these versions, they have the name under the cable car.
Oh.
So it is a really sharp-looking jersey.
A lot of good it did them.
And, it's part of their success has to be due to how they dress.
Yeah, well, you know, they're snappy.
Like all of us.
Snappy dressers. It goes without saying. Now, last night there was, and Jeff, you had mentioned too, Jeff O'Brien with us and Kevin Cusick, the Wisconsin primary. Not really a surprise because both Cruz was expected to win, the Republican delegates, and Bernie Sanders expected to win for the Democrats. But the thing that I keep going, and so does Cruz and Trump, why is John Kasich still in? I've heard the arguments because his people believe, and he believes when they get to the convention, well, no one will have enough delegates, and I don't see a scenario, though, where they're going to let him win.
There's still a chance he's going to show up at the convention and fourth in delegates. He's still behind Marco
Rubio.
Yes,
he probably will.
There hardly has been a groundswell.
Well, they're
for
trying to. People are making the case that, well, with the remaining states, he's going to do well, and he'll have delegates when he goes in. And the argument that he, in some of these polls, I don't see how anyone could actually answer honestly, if you put Kasich versus Hillary, Kasich will win. It's so far down the road to give an honest answer.
1 in 31 now.
And his one was his own state, which wasn't exactly a slam dunk.
You know, the interesting thing, and I like Kasich, and I've told people before, I said, on paper, you look at all the candidates at the beginning of this in both parties, he's probably the guy most qualified to have the job. And I get a lot of people from both parties that will agree with that statement, but it makes sense that
nobody likes him.
He's done the job. He's been a governor.
He's done it all. But the fact that he cannot win anything but his own state would give me some great pause.
His problem has been his sanctimony. Judge, one of the most off-putting things about John Kasich is a lot of times he'll say he came to a policy view different than other people because he's better than them, and he cares more about people, and he cares more about his soul when he's gone than whether he gets elected to office. And when I hear that kind of crap, it just kind of washes over. But resume-wise, yeah, he's done a lot.
And I heard, for the first time, I heard Melania speak, and it's probably best that Trump doesn't let her talk, because it sounds like what's the Boris and Natasha? She sounds like Natasha when she talks. It's like she's missing words, and they're not sentences.
I've been telling you for weeks.
But she's lived here for like 20 years, right?
The Trump implosion that I've been predicting now for 2 months has finally started. Starting with the making fun of your opponent's wife's looks, and then going on to the abortion merry-go-rounds,
yes,
where he took every possible view on abortion in the course of 48 hours, including some new ones. And he just can't stay above water, this juggling act, for another 6 months.
I have a theory on Trump. I think when Trump, when originally got into it, my theory is that the way he was so vitriolic against Jeb Bush, I think something happened that Jeb did down in Florida that cost Trump money on a real estate deal or something. So Trump's reason for getting in the race was to make sure
Jeb.
That Jeb didn't get it. And I think ever since Jeb got out, I think Trump has been trying to figure out a way to implode his campaign himself.
Exit strategy.
And get
absolutely
out of it.
I think self-sabotage. When you come out one day and say, abortion, yeah, we got to have some sort of punishment for that. And then 24 hours later say, nope, I think these abortion laws are just fine the way they
are.
Well,
why not just drop out at that point? Why do you need to completely blow up your character?
His ego won't let him.
What drives him is being the top of the news cycle the next morning.
People hate him, though.
Yeah. He's really killing his brand.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to want to do business with him?
And he has almost no chance now of getting to 12:37 before the convention.
No, Wisconsin would have been important.
I think we all agree, if he's at 12:36 at the convention,
they're not giving it to him.
No.
And right now, and they're going to this is the oddest thing, too. Before the convention, they changed the rules. They have a rules meeting. But right now, I don't think Kasich can even qualify because you have to have won eight states. They did that
That was a rule they put in for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Sure, but they can get rid of that rule.
They could, but
they won't for him.
That's what I mean. I mean, because if you are the true establishment, the one you want is Paul Ryan. That seems to be where everything is heading.
Yeah, that's clearly what's going to happen is if it's just absolutely stop Trump, then the Ryan card will be played at some point after the first ballot. The interesting thing will be is if Cruz maintains this momentum and is much closer.
Well, Cruz is doing a hell of a job lining
up
delegates.
Then they can't do that. Then it would have to be Cruz would be the default.
Well, you I don't know how closely either one of you followed Kasich. Where's his money coming from to keep funding this? I mean, who's the big donor?
He's not running. He doesn't have much money. He's not running a lot of ads.
Well, I guess he doesn't have to if he just wants to be a pain in the ass in there.
So as I said before off air, he's the George Costanza of the presidential thing. He's been fired, and he's just going in there and pretending that he still has the job.
I think he's, at this point, is trying to deliberately play the spoiler to keep Trump from the 1237. So if he picks off, he said he picked off Ohio, you know, maybe he'll pick off some, you know, like Pennsylvania.
So you think he doesn't care who gets in? As long as it's not Trump?
No,
I
think he realizes that the only possible chance, and it's kind of like Dumb and Dumber, right? So you're saying there's a chance,
yes,
is if there's a brokered convention and somehow he has the argument, well, you know, these two have, you know, won't go for their other for each other. Maybe they'll go for me. That's maybe is what his thinking is.
But I think
is.
He's thinking of Veep.
Well, I would think he would have. That was what you would have to, because Cruz at the top of the ticket and him giving some balance for the establishment, that's not a bad ticket. Now, Trump and anyone, a lot of people would have been, you know, horrified at.
I think if it's not Cruz, well, even if it is Cruz, I think one of the female governors is going to be the running mate, Susana Martinez.
Well, you don't think? Well,
or Nikki Haley.
Honestly, I think that's a mistake, and the reason is if you are Cruz and you could get Kasich as your vice president, you take him because he could help deliver Ohio.
Yeah,
he's proved that already. In the it's the only thing he can deliver.
I think at that point, carrying Ohio is the least. In a lot of ways, at that point, the election becomes a referendum on who the Democratic candidate is.
Oh, I don't know. I think I would definitely, I would absolutely try to get Kasich as the vice
president.
What's
happening in the Democratic race now is more intriguing to me because Bernie now has won 7 of the last 8. If you count earned delegates, it's still a 55-45.
For earned delegates.
For earned delegates. And you got all these the superdelegates that are probably starting to feel a little queasy now because the overwhelming majority of like the Hollywood elite now is coming out in favor of Bernie Sanders. And did you even know, by the way, our own union, Communication
yes.
Workers of America,
supporting Hillary or
no,
or
they
Bernie.
Endorsed Bernie. I didn't even realize this.
Well, that's right.
They gave money. They've been giving money to Hillary and Bernie.
I have a
but they endorsed Bernie.
I have a problem
and one of the
with
top
that, though.
Executives for the union went to work on the Sanders campaign.
I want my money back. Well, see, I don't want to be endorsing anyone.
See, that's why I'm not in the Guild anymore.
I still am.
I've been out of the Guild now for about 11, 12
I still,
years.
I write once a week, so I'm part-time, but I still pay in union dues.
So you're paying a portion, a sliver, of the Sansevier next egg that could be going toward your daughter's cheerleading
bid
career.
To become a Vikings
instead,
cheerleader.
Instead, it's going to help Bernie Sanders buy combs.
Son of a bitch.
What is wrong with
Actually,
you?
Actually, I was kidding. Bernie Sanders doesn't own a comb.
Yeah, clearly. I think he's made
but,
that pretty clear.
You know, I could actually live with Bernie if he wasn't such a socialist. However, the one thing about Bernie is
important core thing about him.
Okay, the reason I...
He's from Brooklyn.
No, but and everyone who knows me at all, I've never declared Democrat or Republican. I was on the Orono City Council for 8 years. We didn't have to declare. But I probably tilt more to the right than the left. Well, I guess I do. There are things that I certainly agree with both sides. However, many people think that, oh, you're a Republican. Well, I voted for Wellstone twice and would have voted for him a third time because I didn't agree with a lot of his beliefs and policies. But I did believe he was a man of conviction, that he was not making things up to make it sound good. He believed in everything he said he believed in. He truly did. And that Sanders is the only one of this batch who I feel is the same way.
You're right. They're similar in that, in my view, is they have their finger on the pulse of legitimate issues. They just have the wrong, you know, theories as to what caused them and what the solutions are.
But see, if Bernie was president, he'd be benign because he's never getting any of his socialistic views through. Because neither the Democrats or the Republicans are going to do the things he wants to do.
What, we're not going to have free college?
I wouldn't bank on that one.
Dang it.
And the health care.
I gotta pay those loans back.
I'd love the free health care thing, but I wouldn't bank on that one happening either. But anything that could rip up what's going on with the Obamacare would be fine with me.
Yeah, there's been almost no examination, really, among the general public about how much Bernie Sanders' plan would be costing them. The assumption of, like, the idiots in the front row at a Sanders concert, let's say, who think that it's all the 1% is going to be paying for this. It's going to be the people right in the middle paying about 20% more between taxes and higher costs of living and taxes passed on to them by, you know, businesses, by utilities.
Well, see, anytime if you're not a young millennial, you're not a Bernie Sanders person. I mean, Sam's in the perfect age demo to be a fan of his because he's offering everything free to them.
Yeah, except I can see through it. I think he's promising a lot of things that he's not going to carry through with.
That's because Daddy raised you to be smart.
To be skeptical and
cynic.
Be a cynic.
One of the big tenets of his plan to pay for all this is to start charging health benefits as income, which effectively will be a huge tax on everybody in this country who is currently paying for their health care. Now, granted, that's now only about 55% of the people, sadly. But it's going to be a huge tax.
So wait a minute. So if you have a surgery that costs $10,000, that's going to be taxed to you?
No, you're going to be taxed. For instance, what the Pioneer Press pays toward my health benefits.
Oh, you'd be taxed on that.
My deal is 30%.
Hey, look, right now
I'm going to be charged. That's going to be counting as income now. And that's going to be that way for everyone at every income level.
I'm self-employed and have to get my own, and I'm paying through the ass on this one. Now, does your firm have its own health plan,
yeah,
Jeff?
We do.
So you have the same thing Kevin has then, where it's partially paid by the firm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mine isn't. And I have a better – I've had arguments on Facebook with people where one guy, you know, was bitching about, it's not so bad. What's wrong with it? Clearly, and he shut him up when I said, let me ask you something. Do you work for someone who pays part of your freight? Because it's not that noticeable. Now, when I had to get my own insurance last July, I have five kids, and I have one kid who's had, you know, will need some surgeries. So I wound up getting Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of their best programs. I was paying $1,507 a month. That exact same program on January 1st went to $2,222, a 50% increase. So now I have Health Partners, which is $1,800 and change. And it's, you know, so I'm seeing it is ridiculous what we have to pay for health insurance.
Sure. Actually, I misspoke. The Pioneer Press is not paying 30%. I'm paying 30%. Huge difference.
Yeah, I'd say there is a bit of a difference there.
Huge difference there when you have the
you know what, though, Kevin?
U plus See, now, family plan.
Here's the perspective, though. When you're self-employed and you're paying, I'd be happy if someone would pick up the 30% and pitch that in. But
the numbers, the Bernie Sanders numbers don't remotely come close to adding it.
Now, Jeff, do you have to actually have gone to law school to work for your firm? Because maybe I could whip up a resume. Can you be like an attorney at large?
Do you do podcasts?
Yeah.
Because Bob knows a guy.
I know somebody. Yeah. I also know, you know what, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Abby Powell. I'm very excited to have Jeff and Abby talk. Now, Jeff, give us you were on Sam's show in the morning, the AM 1130, talking about beer.
Yes, talking about the year in beer law for the state of Minnesota, any changes and things like that. For liquor law in general, beers, breweries and distilleries.
Well, that would be anything having to do with beer is going to interest Abby. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847
or visit their website at thomasbrandthomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota-made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501. 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the bsblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too. This is a song called Abby Be Good. We are joined by Abby Powell. Kevin Cusick's here from Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop now. Now, we're also joined by Jeff O'Brien. He's an attorney, Abby, and also is not only a beer aficionado, he's an expert on beer law. So
beer? Oh, one of my favorite subjects.
That's why I wanted to make sure Jeff was here when you were here. Now, Jeff, is there anything she has to worry about? What is, like, the biggest beer law change? I mean, what do they do when they change a beer law?
Well, beer law, there's not a whole lot, you know, that, I mean, in terms of what I do with breweries, it's like everything that's business law and real estate and things like that. But there is this little bit of stuff which is dealing with the licensing and the regulations and what they can and cannot do. So, for example, are breweries allowed to, what can they distribute on their own? Do they have to sign up with somebody? You know, they reach a certain point, they have to sign up with a wholesaler to sell. You know, can they, you know, the growlers, things like that. Can they be open on Sundays? What can they sell on Sundays?
Well, now, Abby, her and her family run Loose Line Orchards. Abby, have you had a beer truck out there, or can you? Jeff could answer that question, I guess, but I don't know if you have.
I've never heard of a, like, mobile beer truck unless it's there for, like, a catering event. Well, but it's not like a food truck where it just drives around and you can serve it on the side of the road without a city permit.
Like,
or,
like an ice cream truck, except
Well, no, they have them at, like, I know at Corn Days
in Long Lake.
He's
a real good humor guy.
They have them, exactly. Give it really good humor. Well, now, Abby, what is your beer of choice?
I like IPAs.
Is that, do you represent any IPA?
Well, yeah, I think everyone.
Well,
in my,
all breweries have an IPA.
Well, who's okay? Who's
the IPA? Oh, Bob, you're so naive.
I don't drink. What's your IPA of choice, Abby?
Steel Toe Brewery in St. Louis Park, size 7. It's probably my favorite.
Size 7? That's like a shoe size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really good.
Jeff knows this one?
Don't represent them, but know them well, yes.
Well, who do you represent? Which
the ones that people most, Dangerous Man.
Okay.
Insight, Bent Brewstillery. I mean, I've got, I don't know, several, you know, all over the state. Gull Dam up in Nisswa.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it is. It is. Jack Pine is up there. Hayes Public House out in Buffalo.
That's not where we are.
Yeah, it's a great little Irish-themed.
Where is that in Buffalo?
Right across the street from Buffalo Lake, right? You go past down.
Really?
Yeah.
Abby, are any of those familiar to you?
Dangerous Man. It used to be in the same location as, what was the other one? In St. Louis Park, and they moved, if I remember right. And Bent Paddle is very good. It's up in Duluth.
Bent Paddle, it's called?
Yep, they're a big one up in Duluth. Yep.
Well, how many?
And they distribute all over.
Do either one of you know how many of these breweries, these smaller ones, there are? I mean, there's been a,
there's a
proliferation
lot
of them.
We had about, this was statistics coming out of the Department of Public Safety, which handles all the license applications in the state. And I think we had it at about 110 at the end of last year, of 2015. Now, to put it in perspective, the most breweries I've ever had in this state has been 125, and that was pre-prohibition. So at some point this year.
Pre-prohibition.
Pre-prohibition. So at some point this year, it's very likely that we are going to surpass pre-prohibition totals for number of breweries open in the state.
Well, Volstead was from Minnesota, right?
He was from Granite Falls, and I'm very proud. I'm working with a group called the Blue Nose Gopher Brewery, which is going to be a brew pub opening in Granite Falls. I take a particular pleasure in seeing that they open in his hometown.
But he's the one. The Volstead Act is what brought on prohibition, and maybe there were so many breweries he got pissy about it.
Well, you know, the thing is with prohibition, a lot of the laws that we have on the books still today are a product of prohibition. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Historically, when they went to repeal prohibition, FDR didn't have the typical, you know, the deal making that goes on today. It was back then it went on. FDR didn't have enough votes in the Senate for a clean repeal. So the compromise was, well, we'll let the states regulate the liquor industry in their own state.
Oh.
And that's why every state law is different in terms of distribution, what breweries are allowed to do, what wineries are allowed to do, what distilleries are allowed to do. The states have, you know, there's a federal that's called the Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Board that collects the excise taxes and issues a federal license and things like that. But a lot of the real deep regulation happens at the state level.
Now, Abby, when you might want to go out for a drink, where would beer fall in your choice of what you would have? Would that be the number one pick, or would it be an alcohol?
Beer or wine. Either or.
Well, you're getting fancy
with wine
now.
But I have a question.
Now.
What's the difference between a brew pub and a brewery?
That's
a
very
something
good...
to do with food?
No, it's a very good question, though, Abby. Before the tap room law came about 5 years ago, a lot of that was kind of the difference. A brew pub would be like a restaurant that makes its own beer. With a brew pub can have a full liquor license. So they can serve not only their own beer, they can serve other people's beer, they can serve wine, and they can serve hard liquor.
So the Granite City Brewery
exactly.
would be a brew pub.
Dayblock Brewery, which is a client of mine down on Washington next to Grumpy's, they're a brew pub. With a brewery, with a tap room, they're allowed to have a special license called a tap room license that a city issues, and they can serve their own products in a room adjacent to their brewery. That's the difference between the two of them. And then you get into a whole bunch of the brew pubs have greater restrictions on where they can distribute their beer. They can only serve at their location. So if they only have one location, that's the only place they can serve their beer. No kegs going out to bars or weddings or anything like that.
Okay, but a brewery can.
A brewery can.
Are there
yes.
time constraint differences between what a brewery can do and a brew pub?
In terms of like open times?
Open times and days.
Yes. The cities, you know, as part of their license structure, say when these can be open. So like, you know, like I said, Dayblock, they're going to be just on the outskirts of downtown. It made sense for me, brew pub, because then they can stay open longer, just like all the other bars in downtown Minneapolis. Whereas if you're a brewery, now I think 10 o'clock is the cutoff time for the tap rooms to be open.
Now, Abby, I know that your family is interested in having a winery, and, you know, because you have grapes there. Have you ever thought of yours would be a brewery, I guess.
Well, we thought of a lot of things up until last week.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Oh.
So financially, we're kind of on hold for a while.
Well, I think everything will work out. I mean, but a brewery would be interesting to have at Loose Line Orchards. Especially
I would be in charge of the one figuring it all out. And right now, I've got more on my plate than I can chew.
Abby, by the way, she, besides Loose Line Orchards, which is her family business, she works for RJR Insurance. So if any of your breweries need insurance, she's the one.
I insure a couple of them.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Any of Jeff's clients?
No. Nope. They're out in the West Metro.
Which ones are they out there? This is like a whole new world to me. I had no idea we had one in Buffalo.
Oh, they're everywhere. And I would say, I should probably ask them if they care if I did. I doubt that they would.
Oh, all right. Well, then that's fine.
I would think an array of hard ciders would be an excellent addition to Loose Line
Orchards. An orchard.
Absolutely.
I agree. But that entails licensing and liquor issues more issues with the state.
But nobody
and the Department
knows. Nobody knows their way around the state than Abby.
I'm learning. I'm learning as I go. We're in the process right now of getting licensed for the food portion.
Actually, if they were like, or any orchard wanted to start like their own like brewery for mm-hmm. just making hard cider, would that be under the same rules as the brewery, different?
Actually, they do a winery license. We have the most favored liquor manufacturer in this state are the farm wineries. They pretty much have carte blanche. They almost can do whatever they want.
Hear that, Abby?
Mm-hmm.
Carte blanche.
So you see a lot of wineries that do, you know, wine and hard cider because, of course, pure, you know, cider is considered wine under the statute. And, you know, if you're looking like a gluten-free type beverage, you're, you know, it's pure cider. Now, there are some breweries that do what they call cider, but they are using, say, sorghum as a malt substitute so they can call it a malt beverage and be able to make it under their brewery's license. So,
well, what's the reasoning for the wineries having more pull? Is it because they grow their own?
It's because they have
crop?
They have good lobbyists. I mean, that's the sad, the kind of the cynical view of a lot of our liquor laws is when you look at some of the logic behind them, such as why would one be favored over the other? Why would we not allowed to buy alcohol on Sundays? It usually has nothing to do other than the fact that someone is over at the Capitol that funds people's campaigns and that doesn't want these things changed.
That makes sense. I was at the Capitol last Wednesday, actually meeting with the department, the co-chair of the Department of Agriculture, and Joe McDonald, who's a state rep from Delano, talking about ag-related tourism laws and how we need some reform at the state level.
Well,
whether or not it was helpful, I don't know.
Well, you're going to have another very, I would say, someone on your side when Dr. Jensen gets elected.
This is very true. This is very true. Yeah, well, Joe McDonald's kind of taken it under his wing to make it one of his top priorities. I think just because out in the West Metro there's so many wineries and breweries and egg-related businesses, orchards, things like of that nature that we need his help. But the other side of it is, you know, there's a lot of barriers to entry, and we've kind of started to push through those. So do we want to make it easier for everybody else? Since we've gone through it the hard way. I don't know.
But if it benefits you, then the other ones, you know, it's, if you could help yourself by doing it and help others, there's good karma coming in that one.
Yep, I agree.
So now, it's you know, I wish you could have been together because you and Jeff would have plenty to talk about. Because he seems to be a great resource for some of the questions you have, too, about the, you know, about, you've been your way, you know your way around those state laws, I would think.
I've had to deal with them more than once.
Yeah, I would certainly think so.
So what about growler sales? So brew pubs can't sell growlers on Sundays,
nope.
But breweries can.
Okay, what's growler mean?
Growler is the 64-ounce jug.
Okay.
It's like a giant big gulp of beer.
So, okay.
Yep.
So it's
you can bring them home and pour yourself multiple glasses or save it throughout the week and
brew pubs
and enjoy one or two.
I think, brew pubs are allowed to sell growlers on Sundays now.
Yep, that's it. Oh, so brew pubs are as well. So Granite City could sell a growler.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep.
So is that the thing, Gabby, when you've gone to Vegas, you drink out of the boot? Is that a growler?
No.
That's
you
just
can't
a drinking out of a boot.
Full of beer.
A growler is just.
How do you know what a growler is?
Okay,
it was on the Viking quiz.
It was on the Vikings quiz. Now, I work with a guy who's a very. Andrew Lee, who he frequents. He has a beer cast where he talks about beer and Sunday sales and all that, and I hear all about it from him. And a growler is like the big, it's like you buy a jug of beer. Like, you know how we go to the store and you'll buy a 2-liter thing of pop? That's what it is.
Yeah.
And Andrew Lee's a bald guy, right?
Yep.
See, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, growlers are the most popular way that a lot of our local breweries sell beer. I mean, because you don't have to spend the money to have a canning line or a bottling line or anything like that. They just get these jugs, and you know, someone comes in to buy one, and they pay a bottle deposit, and you fill it from the tap, and you seal it up, and you know, shrink wrap it, and they can bring it back and refill it.
See, and again, at an orchard, I would think that having a a small array of different types of cider is that would be a big selling point. It would be
clearly Kevin
a
likes the hard
surprise.
Ciders.
Kev loves the
it
hard
would.
Ciders.
Well, is that so? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things like you know, as you had mentioned, but hitting the because you have the apples for the kids and you got the booze for the parents, they're not going to leave. They're going to want to pitch
a
tent.
No, I agree, and I think, but right now we have to focus on what we're good at. If you expand too fast and grow too fast, then you're not great.
Yeah, you're right.
Or you don't do your core competencies well.
Abby's very sensible.
Well, because I have to do it.
When she's
I don't have a whole lot of help in figuring out how to do it. So.
It's the first time core competencies have been mentioned on this show.
Is it?
She's just using big words and showing off, that's all.
I'm now, kind Abby, of a big dogger.
Abby, I heard barking. Does Lenny bark? Were you at the
Tug
farm?
Does. No, I just got home about an hour ago from work.
Do you have a dog at home, too? Or was that?
I do. I've got two dogs.
Well, I thought you only had Lenny there.
No, I have two dogs as well. I have to meet a contractor here.
Oh, well, then we won't keep you much longer. But, oh, everything on schedule, is the wedding done in terms of you have any more things you have to do?
I don't even know. Who cares?
Abby.
Abby. We'll get there.
All right, Abby, hopefully you can come in next week. And we got to get you and Jeff to meet because I think you guys would have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, that would be good.
All right. Fun.
All right, Abby, thank you so much. Abby Pawelk from RJR Insurance and Loose Line Orchards. Soon to keep an eye out for their winery and brewery and hard cider line. That'll be coming soon.
Don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Abby. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Kevin Cusick still with us. Jeff O'Brien. Damn, Jeff, you know your beers.
That's right.
And your beer laws. We will be right back, and we'll talk to Ruth Lorden when we return. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before, many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at minnesotapersonalinjury.com. That's minnesotapersonalinjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now. And we're joined by Jeff O'Brien, who, Jeff, it's rare that I, I was fascinated by that background and the information you had about beer laws and at Dam Volstead.
Yeah, it's an interesting, there's a lot of history and politics tied to beer law.
Yeah, and, well, we're joined by Ruth Lorden, Ruth Lordan, LORDAN.com, at Psychic Ruth. Now, Ruth, you don't really drink much. Were you ever a beer drinker?
No, well, remember I had the breast cancer. So what I did after the radiation is I went over to Ireland where I could get pure good Guinness and drank 10 small pints a night for about 10, 12 days, which helped my body because it had all the right natural things that helped me recover from the radiation.
Oh, well, let me ask, Jeff, during the break, he said you represent dozens of different breweries. Mm-hmm. Are some of them billing themselves as an all-natural type of brewery, or they all claim that they are?
They aren't really. You know, the thing is any time that you try to, espouse any – the federal government would say that's espousing a health benefit.
Okay. So they frown on that.
Yeah. I heard a story one time. There was a beer it was a brewery out in Utah that told me that they, and this is, you know, I was meeting at a conference last year in Portland. They told me that they wanted to have a label. It's called, it was a Pilsner called Pils, but they were going to call it Happy Pils. And they got it rejected because that implied some sort of medical benefit.
Yeah.
It's a hell of an idea, though, if they could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
Now, Ruth, tonight you are at the Medina, right? The Medina.
I'm there and tonight and tomorrow night, yes.
Both nights. And, well, I mean, the weather today, I haven't been outside in hours. Is it a nice night? Because is business dependent sometimes on weather?
Not really.
Because a good
night,
people
come out, too. You know, I've been doing it at Medina for 27 years, and it's, who knows? I never even think about that. It's just at the old saying is that when the student's ready, the teacher appears. When people need the reading, they come for it.
Yep.
It's not a thing that you can figure out by marketing.
Now, here's the question, going back to last night, what happened psychically. Does John Kasich, there is no chance of him ever getting the nomination, is there?
Well, it's strange things can happen, but I doubt it. But Cruz is ready to self-destruct. I listened to his speech and Sanders.
Cruz is? Not Trump?
Well, Trump, when he came out, Trump made the statement, if you noticed, about how Cruz, which is true, was doing all those anti-Trump ads. So I think Trump, if Trump's going to come out fighting. But what's going to end up happening is if it's Cruz, you're going to get a lot of these Trump people voting for Bernie Sanders.
Well, you're saying Bernie is going to wind up getting the nomination,
you know,
from Hillary?
Something, I think I've mentioned that to you all before. There's something against Hillary, and I'm neutral on the whole thing at this point. But there's always this vibe where the people just – it's almost like she's cursed. I can't explain it.
It's called the FBI.
Might be called trauma – or, excuse me, karma, too. There could be that.
The FBI is her biggest threat right now.
And I've been watching, which I recommend to everybody, that series on CNN about making of the president. And when you see what went on in the other presidential elections, Andrew Jackson was a bigamist who also killed a man who were insulting his wife. And he still was elected president.
Well,
so
there were some tempestuous
and
things.
And he's on the 20.
Now, also, now this is something I wanted to ask Jeff and Kevin when we were talking about it. I want to get you involved in this too, Ruth. On CNN, they had several people talking, and one the CNN host, I gotta call her because I don't want to screw up what their names are. It's CNN. It's a woman named Costello. Do you know who she is?
Yes. One of the anchor women.
Yeah, one of the anchor women. So they have a guest.
Carol Ann Costello, maybe?
I think it is that. It is Carol Costello. She had Newsmax TV host Steve Malzberg on, and Malzberg brought up, this is years ago, when Hillary was basically bragging about her successfully defending a child rapist, and the woman just cut her off completely, or cut him off completely, and didn't want to go down that road. If Donald Trump is the nominee, that's going to be part of his arsenal. Is to bring up that she bragged about defending and, you know, successfully defending a child rapist. That won't play well in many parts of the... You don't think he'd bring that up?
My psychic feeling is he's getting very, very schooled right now about how to do things right.
I don't see how that could hurt him. Am I wrong? I mean...
Yeah, no, he's getting schooled on what to do, and Hillary herself can self-destruct. You know... I want to like her. I want to not like her. I just remember, you know, I grew up in Chicago. We're the same age. She was in a different Girl Scout troop, and she was the one everybody talked about as being the snitch. She was the I'm going to tell.
We have breaking news.
This is
here.
Better than what Malzberg has. So wait a minute. You knew
Sam,
her
get me Sean
or just
Hannity
love her?
I did not meet her because she lived in Park Ridge, which was like the rich, no Jews allowed place. I lived in East Rogers Park. But girls, I was in Girl Scouts with. She was in kind of the competing troop.
Yeah.
And she was the snitch.
What snitch? You mean she told about who had the cookies? Or they, you know, they was just,
who knows?
Everybody
said she was the one that would always go, I'm going to tell. Because, you know, those were the girls that
ironic
were kind
now,
of like,
isn't it?
You know, the rich little white girls, they were kind of like the bad girls. You know, not all Girl Scouts, honor the Girl Scout badge.
Girl Scouts. Interesting.
Yeah, the concept of mean girls did not just start 2 decades ago. Goes way back.
You know, Ruth, I don't know of anyone who's gone back as far as when she was in Girl Scouts and she was the snitch.
I think you've
That's
got
groundbreaking
news here, Bob.
It is. We have groundbreaking news. Well, Ruth, give us your vibe of the day.
Put our blinders on and go forward. It is a race, But to win, we need only to do our personal best.
You listening, Sam?
Yes. Motivation comes from grace and loving kindness more than desire and ambition today, and in these new times every day.
Sam,
tonight, epiphany and magic fuels our soul.
I like it.
Sam, well, now Sam has a dilemma.
What's the dilemma?
If she becomes a Viking cheerleader, it's going to be impossible for her to do NBC football.
That is a dilemma.
They're at the same time.
Well, I still have the opportunity to work on the hockey side of things.
Yeah. That's Michelle Tafoya's problem.
Yeah. Yes, and it's a 1-year contract. It's not a lifetime sentence.
And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
And she doesn't have to win. She just has to finish in the top 40.
That's right.
Like Casey Kasem.
Yes, that's right. Well, Ruth, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And again, at the Medina tonight, starting at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, just about 6, yeah.
Okay. Ruth Lorden, ruthlorden.com at Psychic Ruth. Thank you. Thanks to Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com at the Loop now. Yes.
And we had two things this week. Tuesday, we had the we channeled Nipsey Russell again.
Oh, you did?
Got his baseball preview. And not to give a spoiler alert, but he does see October baseball ahead, at least one game for the Minnesota.
Well,
local
now.
Local 9.
So, Ruth is not the only one who channels.
And then Thursday, for the 25th anniversary of the Twins World Series, we unearthed a copy of the Loop quiz that ran back in 1991. We'll be running that tomorrow morning. And, you know, 91 was an incredible year. Not only did we have, like, the Super Bowl.
The U.S.
Stanley
Open
Cup
was here.
The final U.S. Open World Series.
I covered all of them.
The Gulf War.
Didn't cover that.
Rodney King.
Didn't cover that.
Collapse of the Soviet Union.
Covered
the
that.
Election of Yeltsin. Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer. The Halloween Blizzard. All were 1991.
What a year.
Lots of potential targets for tomorrow's quiz.
Looking forward.
Put on your thinking caps.
I'm thinking now. Wow. That's inspiring. thank you to Abby Pawelk and her. Actually, I very much enjoyed not just having you, but that discussion that you had with Abby was very interesting about beer laws. And we should talk more about that. Thank you to Jeff O'Brien for joining us. Now, Jeff, where can you do a blog? I mean, you also have a news site or a website. Where can people go if they want to read more of some of the stuff you have?
You know, if people could go to the website, the firm website, www.lohman.com. A lot of my stuff is there. But if you find me on Twitter at Jeff O'Brien, I'm on there. Google me, and you'll find stuff.
Yeah, because then you're a huge sports fan.
Yep.
You know, and you it seems like football is you
probably football most. But yeah, love all sports.
And you're a Tommy.
I'm a Tommy. National champs.
I know that. You know, I almost because we had him on, and I should have reached out and had John Tower on too. But you must know John very well.
I do.
Well.
He's a good guy.
Great guy. Yeah, he's been on with us every week. Actually, he had been joining us, but I figured to give him a couple of weeks off. Now he's a big shot national champion. So, but thank you again to everyone and Sam. Do I really have to go look for a dress?
He secretly wants to. He loves.
Where would we go?
Macy's.
What about Opitz?
I was there the other day.
They got nice stuff there, and they're cheaper.
They don't have
70-90% off the good stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't have any black dresses.
Is there any places that have like a snack bar?
So you can, Macy's has a snack bar right in the middle of the store.
I think that's
it's perfect.
She only wants me for my credit card. She don't care if I go.
I want
it might have been that way for
daughter.
A while, Bob.
Bullshit.
I want it
Spoiler
for the father-daughter bonding experience.
Bull tripe is what I say.
I occasionally buy with my guys by buying them sneakers.
Right. Tune in tomorrow. You'll find out if I went with her to go get a damn dress. We'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you. Anyway.